Dear friends, a word that has popped up in my life often, and it has now struck me studying for this passage on Matthew 2, is this: recalculating. Where have you heard that word, recalculating? Alicia and I were driving to the Portland airport 4 or 5 years ago. I can't remember the exact situation. And we thought we'd be there in really good time. For a couple reasons, we left really early, and the ETA, the estimated time of arrival, was at least 2 hours before the flight would leave, a time to maybe get some coffee and just relax a little bit. About 30 minutes or so from the airport, that's when the traffic just built up. It's happened to you, I'm sure. And that's when we looked for an alternate path through Portland. And we didn't know Portland all that well. Looked it up on GPS. Is there a way to cut through all the streets, that sort of thing? We got off on the right exit there on the alternate path. And it was just a few blocks down that the voice cried out, recalculating. Went a little further, and as I'm prone to do, I made a wrong turn. I won't admit it, but now with GPS, it calls you out. Recalculating. Then things got even more hectic, and I thought that I could do something better than GPS, and I made up my own route, and I made a wrong turn, and that voice blurted out, recalculating. Ever heard that voice in your life, driving on GPS? I'm really glad what it says. It's a soft, kind of gentle rebuke. It's not like, hey, you dummy, you made a wrong turn. It's just that word, recalculating. You know, I actually think that's a good way to present the Bible. I think the Bible, God is saying, recalculating, recalculate. Take, for example, our text here from Matthew chapter 2, with the question of who would be the first one to worship Jesus, pros kneo in the Greek. Who'd be the first one to give homage to only someone that's God above everyone else? Calculating that question, you'd come up with a very sure answer. Calculating it, if you and I were to calculate who'd be the first ones to worship him, we'd probably come up with the scribes and the Pharisees. They're described here in Matthew chapter 2. They're here in Jerusalem with King Herod. Why them? Well, you see, they had 8 centuries of reading. They had 8 centuries of reading about the prophets of this baby that would be born. They're the ones that probably should worship him first. Why the scribes and Pharisees? They know the exact location of where this baby's going to be born. Bethlehem of Judea. Guess how far Bethlehem of Judea is from Jerusalem where these scribes and Pharisees are hanging out? Does anyone know? 6 miles. 6 miles. We're talking 6 miles from Jerusalem. Scribes and Pharisees, they've got the pedigree in the background. They're ceremonially clean. They've offered sacrifices. They've hung around Jerusalem. They know King Herod. They got connections. When you calculate things, boy, the first people to worship Jesus, they've got to be the scribes and Pharisees. But that's when a voice cries out, recalculating. Recalculate. And there's a disruption. This happens all throughout the Bible. God kind of intervenes and says, recalculate the way you think things are going to go. And a star comes across the sky. And these magi come along their way. And the idea here is God's saying something that the way that you and I would calculate how the first people would be to worship Jesus, the baby born, is going to be much different. And God's asking, recalculate. The first people to worship Jesus, proskuneo, are Gentiles. 3 wise men. What a powerful way they do it. I just want to cover little details here. They're oftentimes lost. These wise men that show up, notice what they say here. It's very striking. They say, we've come to find the child born a king. It doesn't say born to be king in the future. He's going to develop and get some gifts, and then all of a sudden he'll be king. No, these guys say he's born king right off the bat. It's a pretty bold statement. And they come, and they want to worship Jesus. This word is a very technical word. It was only meant to be for worshiping a god. No human being could be pros kneo. Then finally, these wise men, when they see the star, They are exceedingly joyful. The word there is actually equivalent to delirious. They're out of their minds. They're happy. They're excited. They want to go and worship Jesus. They're the first ones. So here's the irony of this passage, Matthew chapter 2. The people that you would calculate, and I would calculate to be the first ones worshiping, remember, 6 miles away. Remember, they've got Micah the prophet. Remember, they've got 8 centuries of prophets. They are not the ones to worship Jesus. The first ones to worship are these magi. Now, we actually don't know a ton about these magi. We actually don't even know the number of them. We know there are 3 gifts. It doesn't say anything about the number in the Bible. This is the only account in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 2. And it doesn't say anything about kings, but the thing that this text tells us is that God is in the business of recalculating. We calculate, and then God says, nope, my vision's much bigger. Recalculate and do it again. Has God ever spoken that word into your heart? Hey, recalculate. You calculated wrong. I remember when I was in seminary, St. Louis. I'd never been in St. Louis before. I didn't know the town all that well. The first 2 months of being in St. Louis, you're able to worship at different churches. So you go to a whole bunch of churches, big churches, small churches, a whole bunch of different opportunities to see how things are going to play out. And then after 2 months, they assign you to a resident church that you're going to be at for 3 years to get to know the people and learn a few skills, like just reading in front of people, that sort of thing. That's the way it works. And see, what guys did is they calculated the kind of church that they'd get assigned to. Certainly people that look like me. Certainly people that have a socioeconomic background like me. Certainly people that can relate to my stories and those sorts of things. Then after a couple months, the assignments came out. A friend got St. John Ellisville on the west side. Yeah, I could see myself there. And then another guy, he pulled it up and he got Concordia Kirkwood, right in Clayton, if you know this area in St. Louis. And then my turn came, and the assignment was St. Paul Lutheran Church in West Florissant. West Florissant? Where is that? Before the time of Google Maps, and you could look up a picture of what something looks like, we didn't have that. This was back in like 2005, 2004. I decided to get into my car and check it out before the Sunday of my first meeting all these people. And so I went down the highway, 6440, took a left turn on North Grand. And all of a sudden, I said to myself, I'm not in Kansas anymore. Abandoned cars, abandoned homes, homeless people walking the street. Then I pulled up to the church, St. Paul Lutheran Church. The sign of the church was down in the ground. There were beer bottles in the parking lot. Lots of potholes, and I said to myself, I wonder if they even still worship here. You know what was going on? God was saying, Jeremy, recalculate. My vision is much bigger than what you're calculating. He's doing it to each one of you here. Recalculate. You know, sometimes when we recalculate and and God had a big picture for the gift of Jesus. It wasn't just for the scribes and Pharisees. It was for the Magi. It was for Persians. It was for the entire world. Jesus is for all people. You know, sometimes it takes a miscalculation to really take us to where we need to be. I wanted to share that with you, a story I heard over Christmas that shows this. It's about a business. They made a massive miscalculation, and it actually ended up into one of the greatest inventions in American history. And I know you love it. Here's the invention. The frozen TV dinner. Do you know how that got invented? In 1953, the company Swanson massively miscalculated the American appetite for Thanksgiving. And after that Thanksgiving weekend, they had 260 ton of turkey left over, sitting in trains that were refrigerated, and they didn't know what to do. And the guy that calculated all this, they got very angry and said, we're going to fire you for this calculation that you did. This is going to put our company under. A salesperson by the name of Jerry Jerry Thomas, said, "I got an idea. Let's order 5,000 trays, aluminum trays. Hire a whole bunch of people that can form an assembly line and put potatoes in one area and peas in another, and then we'll put turkey over here." But here's the problem. They massively miscalculated again. The demand in 1954 was for 10 million, not 5,000 TV dinners, 10 million frozen TV dinners. What that story tells us is a very important one. I think God works in a similar way. We calculate how things are going to work. Sometimes God says, recalculate. I've got something bigger. I've got a bigger vision of who I can reach and who I can share Jesus' love with. What hinders us? What holds us back from sharing Jesus' love? It's that we calculate too much. We control things too much. I'll name it. We calculate too much. This last week when I was putting together my pastor's report, I came across something that was really interesting, and I never had seen it before. Did you know one of the goals of the members of this church is this? I want to share it with you so you all know. I didn't realize it until this last week. Is to invite one person to church throughout the year. Why don't we do that? And some of us do, and I've been guilty. There have been years I haven't invited people to church. Why is that? There's a shyness, of course, but I think it's this. We calculate too much. They'll never pay attention. Oh, the songs or sitting for an hour, that's just not going to work. But God's saying to you today, recalculate. Because you know what God has done for each one of us through the forgiveness of Jesus? God has said, I'm recalculating for you. I'm going to still send my love to Jesus to you. Shouldn't we recalculate the people in our lives and still reach out with the love of Jesus and show it to them? I really do believe this is the message of the Bible. So often, God's saying, recalculate. Moses at the burning bush. Moses, will you go over and take the Israelites across the sea and then into the promised land? Moses pulled out his calculator and said, no, I don't think that's going to work. God said, recalculate and do it. Peter in Acts chapter 10, there's a Roman soldier. Peter comes from a kosher family, ceremonially clean, and he comes across a soldier, and he's not ceremonially clean. God says, recalculate, Peter. And the wonderful thing about GPS is this, that whenever that program says recalculate, I've never known it to be wrong. It's always right. That was the lesson I learned going to Portland. I thought I could get a shortcut. It's not true. Trust the GPS system. Trust God. How is he saying, recalculate? How can we share Jesus with distant people from the east, like the Magi, with people across the street that need to hear about God's love through Jesus Christ? Amen.